Blog Talk Radio.
Hello world, it's time for RTWFC Bible Talk with Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood and his wife Betty Yearwood. For the next 2 hours, join in with us in this Internet Radio Bible Discussion program. There'll be a special singing and call in and discuss the Bible with us. And now here's your host, Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood, live in Madisonville, Tennessee.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to be able to come back into homes once again. This is marking our 100th service, and we're starting a revival tonight. Going to go through March the 4th each night, so we want you just to be a part of this, get right in the service with us, and just worship the Lord in spirit and truth with us. We just have a great time in the Lord. This, as I said there a minute ago, marking 100th service. So we're real thankful that we was able to be here, and God made the way for us to be here 100 services. So we're starting that revival as right now, and it's going to go through March the 4th. So we thank God for it. So if you want to be a part of this service, why, call in on 310-742-1759. That's 310-742-1759. We'll put you right on the line here with us just to worship the Lord in spirit and truth, and just have a great move of God. So we thank God for the prayer requests that we're getting in here, and we'll be announcing them here in a few minutes, the prayer request, and just want everybody to pray about it and pray for it, and let's just pray for this revival, you know, that God will save many, many souls. That's what it's all about. It's not to make Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood and Betty Yearwood look anything special or anybody else that comes on here. But it's just we're trying our best to reach the world for Christ, trying to tell you about Jesus, and trying to tell you that you need to make it right if you've not made it right. So I got some call-ins here. I'll find out who they are, then we'll go back to them and get them to obey the Lord. 770, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Praise the Lord, Brother Lloyd. This is Brother John from Thomaston, Georgia.
Praise the Lord, Brother John. I'm glad that you called in there. 937, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Hi, Brother Yearwood. It's Brother and Sister Green in Springboro, Ohio.
Praise the Lord. Glad you called in. I appreciate it. 706, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
It's Freda Litchfield in Thomaston, Georgia.
Praise the Lord. We're glad you called in there, sister. So I tell you what, I'm stirred up over this revival. I feel the presence and the Spirit of God so strong that I just can't hardly be still. And I'm looking forward for a great, great move, a great pouring of the Holy Ghost out on this revival. And I thank God for each and every one of you that's coming in here with us and going to be on here with us through this week and through up through March the 4th, and by God's help, we're just going to have a great time in the Lord. And so Brother John, you're the person that called in there, so I'll just go ahead and let you obey God. And our subject tonight is God's Facebook. So just go ahead there, Brother John.
Well, I appreciate it tonight. Amen. Appreciate the opportunity. Amen. To speak the word of the Lord for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we were beginning to deal, and as we passed off the face of the Lord. And tonight, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. And this is where Moses was speaking to the Lord. You know, the Bible speaks of... I don't know a whole lot about Facebook. I don't have any Facebook account. I know a lot of people have Facebook accounts, and and you know, enjoying. I know little to nothing about Facebook accounts, but I do know about the Word of God, and I do know about that when the in the beginning, as some of you are turning to get ready for this word, that you know, as the Bible says, that the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the earth. Amen. In the beginning, God made, amen, in the beginning, his own Facebook. You know, the Word of God is God's Facebook. You know, the Bible teaches us in John chapter 14, when Jesus was going to prepare a place, amen, for believers, amen, that he had spoken unto them. And he had Thomas, amen, and had Philip there with him. And as they were there with him, he said, I go to prepare. He said, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So the preparation that the Lord Jesus Christ is doing for us, he's preparing a place, amen, that we can dwell in the Father's house. And, you know, by the Spirit, we're able to do that now. And so, but there is a time, amen, and we just praise the Lord for what he's doing, and he is making a place for us. And he began to tell them that he was going back to the Father's house. The very preparations of all things is for us all to return to the Father's house and to dwell in the Father's house forever. Amen. And you know, a lot of times when they have Facebook accounts, they talk about friends and they talk about family. And that's what we're talking about tonight, the family of God and the Facebook of God, how his word. You know, the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says that, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, the written, spoken Word, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Amen. And so we know that when you see the Word, you've seen God. You've seen, amen, literally His face. We know that as I said in John chapter 14, Thomas wanted to know where he was going. Amen. The way he was going, he said. He even declared, he said, and the way you know, amen. He's speaking of himself, amen. Tonight, church, I want to ask you, do you know the very Facebook of God? Do you know the Word of God? Do you know that it is God? Do you know that it was there with him in the beginning? Do you know that his wisdom was there? Amen. You need to know tonight that every time you open up the Word of God, you're opening up God's Facebook. There's an access. There's a password. Amen. There's a password, and that password is the Word of God. Amen. Anything you know, you can, a lot of people have certain names that they go by on their Facebook, from my understanding. And amen, God has many names. Amen. And every one of his names is hallowed. Mm-hmm. This will give you an access. He said in John chapter 10, he said, I am the door. That's access. He said, amen, that he's an everlasting entrance into the kingdom. Amen. He even speaks about sitting before us an open door. Amen. Amen. And so, but this is something that we must ask, seek, and knock for. But and he was talking about in John chapter 14, as Thomas said, he said, Jesus declared, he said, in the way, you know. And he said, how can we know the way? Amen. And even though he had been with him tonight, church, we want, in this revival, we want you to know the way, and his name is Jesus. In fact, the way is even his hallowed name. That way, it's the way back to the Father. That's the Facebook. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He was declaring that he was the way to the Father. He was the truth that would bring you to the Father. Hallelujah. And he is the life. Amen. And the Father in him was life. The Bible says in John chapter 1, and the life was the light of men. So we know that in him is the life. So we know he's the way. He's the access. Amen. He's the password as the God's Facebook. Amen. Is opened up and God's Facebook account. Amen. And then he spoke about. He talked about the Father. He said he's going back to the Father. Philip. Amen. Being there, he said, show us the Father. Amen. Tonight, every time you open up the Word of God, you see the face of God. Every time you look in the face of the Word of God, you are seeing God's Facebook tonight, church, his Facebook account. You know, the Bible speaks of, I believe it's in John chapter 21. Amen. We're just laying some foundation, amen, here tonight. But in John chapter 21, it talks about the feeding, amen, of the sheep and the little ones, amen, of the flock, amen, that Peter was destined, amen. They had been fishing, amen. This was a time when the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, had been crucified, and this was the time before he would ascend up to heaven, and so he appeared on the shore, amen, and as he appeared on the shore, amen, hallelujah, he asked them, he said, children, have you any meat? And Peter asked, amen. He said, before that, he said, I go fishing. In other words, he went back to what he'd been called from. Tonight, we've been called to be fishers of men, each and every one of us, not only on this broadcast, but those of you that are listeners tonight. And my prayer tonight is that you're not just listeners tonight, that you're not just hearers. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 22, prayer for revival. What brings revival is that you're a doer also. Just not enough to hear the Word of God tonight. It's just not enough to look upon His face account, but it's to do what the instructions are on God's Facebook tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why we look on it. That's why we look for it. You know, the Bible speaks of in Luke chapter 11. Amen. And I know these speakers tonight. You know, the Bible talks about a man went to a man and his friend. Amen. Hallelujah. And he was looking for it. And the reason he went to that man in Luke chapter 11, amen, it talks about the Lord's Prayer. And then it talks about asking, seeking, and knocking, that threefold, amen, continuing that will give you access. Prayer is another access that will open God's Facebook. As you begin to petition Him, as you make supplications unto Him, it will open, amen, the very Facebook of God and open up the very face of God to you. And he went to this man that was his friend, that the Bible says at midnight. In other words, it was in the middle of the night, in an opportune time. But he knew he had a friend that was in a journey, and he had nothing to set before them. And tonight, amen, I know that these speakers tonight, I know those that are already on here, I know that they went to their friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they began to ask him, Lord, open the door and give unto us what you would have us, because tonight all of you listeners are our friends. All of you are in a journey. It's a journey of life. Amen. And so tonight, myself, and I know Brother and Sister Yearwood and Brother and Sister Green and Sister Frieda, I know that they sought the face of the Lord because within ourselves tonight, church, we have nothing to set before you. But as we go to God's Facebook, as we go to seek the face of God, hallelujah. You know, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Oh, tonight, churches, we seek the very Facebook of God, the very face of God. God will bring a healing. God will bring a hearing from heaven, and He'll hear your land. Tonight, all over this world, all over this globe, in the United States, in America, and in foreign countries that are listening to us tonight, you need a healing in your life. You need a healing. You need a wholeness. You need that touch of God, and tonight you need to see the face of God. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, as there in Luke chapter 11, that he sought, he continued. But he didn't come to the door because he was friend. You need to know tonight that, amen, that man that was in that house there, that was a type and shadow of God the Father, amen. But he didn't come to the door because that man was his friend. He came to the door because of the importunity, the Bible says. In other words, because of his boldness, he kept on knocking, he kept on seeking, and he kept on asking. And church, amen. You know, there are a lot of people that will spend hours on Facebook, and that's all right. That's between them. But you know what? If you want to be on Facebook, I'll tell you the number one account, amen. In the beginning, it started this all out, and it's God's Facebook. It's His Word of God. It's His Spirit. Amen, and His very presence. But going back, just like I said, to Exodus chapter 33, and the Lord said, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people, which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, into the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. He was talking about this was the land of promise. This is a place of promise. And I can promise you tonight, church, if you get on God's Facebook, it'll be a place of, amen, and open up the Spirit of God into your own life. Amen. He said, behold, I stand in the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice. You know, you have to get close enough to Him if you'll hear His voice. But tonight you can't hear the voice of God without being the sheep of God. That means that you have to lay down your life. The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 13, I believe it is, greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for a friend. And tonight, amen, as we come before the Facebook of God, we have to lay down our life, amen, to this God of the Facebook, God of the Word, amen. And as we lay down our life, we will become His sheep. As we make, amen, and submit ourselves under the hand of the Good Shepherd. Good Shepherd is another access. That's another hollow name, amen. The Good Shepherd, amen, laid down His life for you. Before you ever laid down your life, I'm talking about laying down your life. I'm talking about with sacrifice. I'm talking about giving your life, your living sacrifice. You have to understand, the Bible says, He doesn't ask for you to put your children or yourself on a fire, amen, and sacrifice yourself. Here's what my Lord asked from his Facebook account. He said, I beseech you, brethren, by Romans 12 and verse 1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of amen, that you present yourself. There's a presentation of yourself. The Lord wants your body. The Lord wants your spirit, amen, because it belongs to him. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that you're bought with a price. You're not your own, amen. Hallelujah. You've had access to God's Facebook and access to his face, looking at him. You know, the Bible teaches us in Proverbs that iron sharpens iron as the face of a countenance of a friend. You need to know tonight, amen, that a true friend loveth at all times. The Bible says in Proverbs 17, amen. So you know what? A friend, when you get on the Facebook, when you get on God's Facebook, he already knows who you are, all about you. You don't have to post your things, praise the Lord. God already knows all about you, amen. When you get on there, the Bible says the word of God is quick and powerful in Hebrews 4 and 12, and sharper than any two-edged sword tonight, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word, amen, knows your heart. In fact, he looks upon your heart, amen. He doesn't look upon the outward appearance, amen. When he was chosen there in Samuel, amen, Samuel the prophet, amen, had went in there to choose a king because the children, amen, of Israel desired a king, amen. They had actually come to a place of rejecting God. Church tonight, don't reject God and don't reject his Facebook, amen. He loves you, amen. Like I said, he loves you all the time. He knows all about us. We don't have to post it. It's already posted, amen. It's already listed, amen. He has a book of remembrance, but he has a book of life also, amen. These seals have been opened by the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. That's the Facebook. Amen. And I just want to ask you tonight, will he find your name among his friends on his Facebook? But it's not only in that. Will he find your name in the book of life? Amen. Because that's so more important. Because just like I said, he laid down all. He even called Judas Iscariot, who was betrayed him. He said, friend, what do you want? In other words, the wounds that he had, amen, he got that in a house of a friend. Amen. The rejection that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and went on. Amen. You know, many times we've heard of Facebook postings, posting different things, maybe saying something about, but you know what? Lord Jesus Christ never accused you on his Facebook. Lord Jesus Christ did not put your sins on his Facebook. He doesn't list, amen, hallelujah, what you've done, amen. In fact, there's a bloodline, amen, amen. There's a security, amen. There's a lifeline, a life lock, amen, that comes in there, and amen, and you need to know tonight, amen, you can't come any other way. You can't come onto God's Facebook any other way but through the door. Hallelujah. He said, all that ever came before me were thieves and robbers. He said, I am the door to the sheepfold. To this Facebook, you have to come to the threshold. You have to come to the door, amen, the front door. You have to come in. That's the only way that you can access, amen, God's Facebook. You can't come any other way. There's no other way to get into this realm. There's no other way to get in God's Facebook and get into his heaven, get in his house, but through the Lord Jesus Christ and the being the blood applied and confessing your sins and believing in your heart that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that God the Father, amen, amen, brought him and brought him face to face. And then the Bible says in verse 2, and I will send the angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. You need to know tonight that God is driving all the enemies, amen, out before you, church. And as he's driving out all the enemies, you don't have to worry about the postings of the Facebook. God is driving out your enemy. God is driving out your oppression. God is driving out your fear. God is driving out your sin. God is driving out your afflictions. Come on, church. He's removing all these things. He's removing all the spam. He's removing all the junk. He's removing all the garbage. He's removing everything that doesn't need to be on your Facebook. Hallelujah. Amen. He's brought it out there. He's using the blood. It's cleansing you from all unrighteousness. It's cleansing, amen, hallelujah, as the blood of Jesus Christ comes on your Facebook. It wipes out all the sin. It wipes out all the sickness. It wipes out all the disease. When you come to face with God, he said, I will heal from heaven and will heal your land. He said, I'll forgive your sins. Hallelujah. Amen. He doesn't remember your sins anymore. And the Bible says, into a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. Because they, as you were the children of Israel, and they become stiff-necked. Church, we need to be careful that we don't become hard-hearted and stiff-necked when God is bringing us to a place of promise. Amen. God is bringing us by a way that we know not. He's bringing the blind. Amen. He knows your beginning from your ending. Like I said, a true friend loveth at all times. He knows your sin. He knows what you said against him. But yet, it was just like the prodigal, the father of the prodigal son, when the son came to himself and he come back and he wanted to find the Facebook of his father, and he left his account, amen, and went to a faraway country and spent all his substance on riotous living, amen, and spent it on harlots, as the scripture says in Proverbs, amen. And then when he came, amen, the Bible says he came to himself, amen. In other words, he came face to face to himself and realized, amen, what he had done. He ended up, amen, in church tonight. God's promise and purpose was you to go to a land flowing with milk and honey. God's purpose from the very beginning was you to get on his Facebook, amen, and be a part of that family, and be a part of that, amen, of the Church of the Living God, amen, to be on the Facebook and just commune with him, amen, because he loves you. His desire was to be in the garden with you. His desire was just to talk to you. His desire was just to hear your voice, amen, hallelujah. But tonight, amen, we don't need to be like the prodigal son as we receive the inheritance and receive the goodness of God. You know, that's all he can give, amen. Every good and perfect gift, the Bible says, I think, believe it's in James chapter 1, verse 17, amen, coming down from the Father of lights, which is no variableness or shadow of turning tonight, amen. He gives you good and perfect gifts, and as he comes and gives it that gift, in fact, he is the perfect gift. The Lord Jesus Christ is the gift of God, gift of the Father that he gives to you. And so what he's done is he's brought you to a place that is flowing. Oh, church, it's flowing. It's revival tonight, church. We're in the land. Right now, you can step in a place of promise tonight, amen, on God's Facebook and in his word. And the Bible says in verse 4, and when the people heard these evil things, they mourned, and no man did put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said unto Moses, saying to the children of Israel, you are stiff-necked people, I will come up unto the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore, now put off thy ornaments from thee, and I will make that I may know what to do unto thee. And so they had come to a place, amen. They had been stiff-necked, and they had rejected God. They had become hard-hearted. But I'm glad tonight that God's word is like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces. He breaks the hardness. The Bible says in Isaiah 61 that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon him. Not only is he upon him, but he's upon us as believers, church. Oh, hallelujah, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set every prisoner open, every door of the prison open, to set the captives free, amen, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's why we're here tonight, amen, because we're going on God's Facebook. We're seeking the very face of God. And the Bible says, and the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount of Hor. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, far off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. It was without the camp. Why? Because there was sin in the camp, church. There was sin in the camp. Men was in the camp. Sin was in the camp. But they had been allowed in the camp. So he come out. That's why he said he put the tent in the congregation. Amen. All by itself. The Bible says in Isaiah, come ye out and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. You have to understand, amen, you don't have to worry about the security on God's website or God's Facebook. Because you have to understand, he's got the security. He's got the armor. Amen. No one can break in. Amen. Him that steals, steal no more. You have to understand, when you're Facebook face-to-face with the Lord Jesus Christ, no one can come in and take anything away from you. They can't take that relation. The Bible says, I believe it's in Psalm chapter 5, that evil cannot dwell in the presence of God. So when we get in the presence, in fact, it says in Psalm 16:11, in thy presence is the fullness of joy. You want to get the fullness of joy? When's the last time? All you got to do is get in God's Facebook. In fact, you know what? Tonight is time for us to get in the face of God. It's time to get face to face, amen, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that he says, come ye out and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. He set the tabernacle, amen. And so as you come, you're coming out and getting separated with God and having fellowship and face to face fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, and it came to pass when Moses went out to the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone to the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. there was a cloudy pillar. That was the presence of God, called the Shekinah glory of God, came and settled at the door. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. Every man worshiped when they saw the Shekinah glory of God. Church, how long has it been since you've seen the Shekinah glory of God? How long has it been since you've seen the direction and the Spirit leading you and guiding you, amen, of the door of the tabernacle? Some of you have to rise up, but some of you, the Bible says they begin to worship, amen, because one man entered in. That one man was Moses. But you need to know tonight that that one man entered in. Year after year, the high priest would enter in, amen, to the Holy of Holies in the veil of the tabernacle, and amen. They would have to tie their rope around their feet in case there was some ungodliness or sin in their life. And they would wear pomegranates and bells, amen, at the hem of the high priest's garment, amen, in case they fell dead in the holiness. And they would go in one time a year, amen, to have the sins of all the people, amen, be covered for one more year. But I'm talking about a high priest tonight after the order of Melchizedek. His name is Jesus. And when he went in face to face, amen, and when he died on the cross at Calvary, the Bible says that the veil of the temple was rent from twain from top to bottom. And he made access to God's Facebook for each and every one of us, because he makes us all kings and priests. If we'll follow after that order, he makes us all kings and priests to our God. And we can go in, because he didn't enter into the likeness of that was made by hand. He entered into heaven himself and is interceding right now to the right hand of the Father. Amen. Hallelujah. He is the one directing and interceding for us right now. And right now, bringing us face to face with God, bringing us to that place of promise. And the Bible says, and the Lord spake, verse 11, the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaking to his friend. And he turned again into his camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. He didn't leave him. You know, the Bible teaches us in James chapter 2, because the second time I'm going to go there, but James chapter 2, verse 21 through 25, it talks about that Abraham was justified. We read the story in Genesis chapter 22, but James, the writer of James, amen, in chapter 2, verse 21 through 25, sometime when you get in that Facebook and read that there on God's Facebook, what it declares unto you that Abraham was justified by his work, because as he has offered up his son Isaac, hallelujah, he was justified, and God imputed unto him the righteousness and imputed him and made his friend. Guess what God did? He made him a friend on God's Facebook. Tonight on God's Facebook, there's Rahab, and there's David, and there's Jacob, and there's Isaac, and hallelujah, there's just multiple, and there's Lloyd, and there's Joanna, and there's Cliff, and there's Frida, and there's all, I don't know your name tonight, but he knows your name, amen, and just tonight, is your name on the Facebook of God? Have you talked to him as a friend talking to a friend? And the Bible says, going on there a little bit farther, he says, he said, now therefore I pray thee, in verse 13, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. In other words, Lord, if I found grace, consider this nation is your people. What did he say? If my people, which are called by my name. Church, are you his people tonight? Are you on his Facebook? Have you got face to face with him? And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Tonight, church, there are many of you under the sound of my voice right now. You need the rest of God. You need to know that there's a promise of his presence as you open the Word of God and as you get face to face with him. Hallelujah. There's joy in his presence. There's joy. Why would you want to go anywhere else? Get on God's Facebook. It'll bring you joy. Get on God's Facebook. It'll bring you health. Get on God's Facebook, it'll bring you faith. Get on God's Facebook, it'll bring Amen. You everything from Genesis to Revelation. And for the Bible says, for when shall it be known here that I and the people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, and I and thy people from all the people that are from the face of the earth. In other words, he was saying, Lord, if you don't go with us, we're going to be separated from you. If you don't go with us, we're going to be separated. We need to know that you found grace in your sight. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Show me thy glory. You know, the Bible says, John said in John chapter 1, somewhere around verse 12 and 14, he said, and 12 through 14 of John chapter 1, he says, I told, already told you in John 1:1 that the Word was God and the Word was with God but in the beginning. But also it tells us that the Word was made flesh. Jesus Christ was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Let me ask you something tonight. Have you ever beheld the glory of God's Facebook? Have you ever beheld Jesus, his face? Amen. Every time you open the Word of God, you're beholding the face of Jesus. If you've seen him, you've seen the Father. This is the face. Amen. And I'm talking about here in the scripture that I'm getting ready to read. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Verse 19 says, I'm going to make all my goodness pass before thee. In other words, the goodness of God is going before you. Remember, it talks about in this 23rd Psalms, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's what David said. The Lord was his shepherd. God declares here in Exodus that his goodness would pass before you. He went before you in your journey. His mercy went before you. His grace went before you. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall not no man see me and live. God was unseen at that time. God's face was unseen at that time. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Church, there's a place by Jesus Christ tonight. There's a place by the Father just for you to stand upon the rock. For the rock that's higher than you is called God's Facebook, called God's cornerstone. Hallelujah. It's a chief thing. And the Bible says, and it shall come to pass while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. At that time, you saw his glory, you saw his goodness, but now you're going to see his face. Church, tonight I'm going to tell this story, and then I'm going to get back to Brother Yearwood. Several years ago, I was in a church up in Indiana, in Kokomo, Indiana, ministering at a church up there. This was about 31, 32 years ago. There was a man, amen, that came there that day, and he was a part of the music ministry that was there in the service there that night. And as he come there, amen, he was a young man. In fact, he had been a pastor in Indianapolis, Indiana. And as they come, they begin to tell me the story, amen, and he actually even wrote a song. And it's a song, and then it's a talking song, but I want to sing that to you. But just listen to the words of this song and the words of the speaking. Lord, is your face turned toward me? Oh, the night is so dark and I can't see. And when I go through life's dark night, you'll let me know that it's all right. Lord, is your face turn toward me. The story comes to us from a young pastor in Indianapolis, Indiana, who had a 10-year-old girl, amen, and his wife had passed away at a young age, at 27 years old, with cancer. And on the day of the funeral, they came, and amen, and they came, and the events of that day had come, and amen, as they come there and went home that night. The little girl there was tossing and turning. He heard her in the hall across the way there, weeping and crying. But as it was directly to them, she cried out in that night, amen, to her daddy. She said, Daddy, will you put my bed just in that door so I can see your face? And together they put that little 10-year-old girl's bed up there so her face would be right across the hall and she could see her daddy's face. And then that day, and that night, then she went fast asleep knowing that her daddy's face would be turned toward her all night long. But in that night, amen, the things of the funeral of the day come rushing in on that young pastor and that young believer. He began to cry out to God, and he said, Lord, you know how hard it is for me. You know, and then, Lord, I don't understand why she's gone. But in that dark hour, church, listen to what I'm about to say, what the Lord's answer was to him. He said, my son, do you not know that my face is turned towards you, even in your darkest hour? Lord, is your face turned toward me? Oh, the night is so dark and I can't see. But when I go through life's dark night, you'll let me know that it's all right. Lord, is your face turned toward me? Oh, I'm glad you have your face turned toward me. Go ahead, Brother Lord.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that, Brother John. Appreciate that wonderful song. You've been holding out on us on that singing. Praise the Lord. I tell you, I think we'll let Tim sing a song here before we have somebody else to obey God. But I want to turn in a prayer request this year. And if you got any prayer requests, Brother John, go ahead and turn them in there now, if you want to, please.
Okay. I have my son, Stephen Sample. He has a flu. My granddaughter, Haley, she's got a high fever. My son, Joshua Sample, he's needed a touch from the Lord. He's had some problems with some high blood pressure in the past couple of days. My wife needs a touch from the Lord. Needed a touch from my daughter-in-law, Wanda. She's expecting a child, and just some things. She needed a touch from the Lord. Heather Brunax, she had to go to the hospital today with some stomach problems. I don't really know what was wrong there. And just many, many, let me see here. We got, I know some of you have already given. I guess that's basically generally overall. Just pray for this revival, that souls would be set, people would be set free. Power of God. Also, Wendell Taylor, he's needing a touch from God. He's needing God to lift him up. And just appreciate what God is doing.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Want to say we appreciate the prayer request. Want to remember them. So, Brother Sister Green, you got a prayer request you want to make known this time?
Yeah, Brother Yearwood, we've got several that come in over Facebook. Is that okay if you want me to turn them in now?
Yeah, go ahead and turn them in now.
Danielle Rogers said pray for her family. Jerry Bowen says pray also for his mom. She's pretty sick with the flu. Tim Hall, Brother Hall says remember him and Sister Frida. They need a spiritual, physical, and financial miracles. Sister Patty Love says pray for her children. Keep them in prayer as well as all of her family. Joanne Gillum says pray for her. She has unsaved loved ones. Deborah Smith says she's praising God that her 19-year-old daughter, she has frequent seizures, and they're thanking the Lord that that she is still with them. Jerry Bowen says that his kids and himself also suffer from seizures. He said he feels like he's been cursed. So pray for him and his children. And Dolores Garcia, Sister Dolores, says pray for us, sister. She says for her and her husband. They're going through trouble with their jobs. They know God is bigger than that in Jesus' name, she says, and pray for her mother-in-law that she doesn't have to have surgery. Johnny Grigsby says, yeah, pray for his four-year-old, his name's Junior. I guess he has the flu as well. So, just pray for us, Brother Yearwood.
Okay. Well, everybody remember them prayer requests. Sister Frida, you got any prayer requests you want to make known at this time?
Yes, I do. I just got one that Brother John didn't say anything about. One of our members' grandson is having a tube in one of his ears tomorrow morning. So let's remember him in prayer tomorrow.
Amen.
Oh, let's remember that. Okay, we got some prayer requests here. Want to turn in? I tell you, one of them here really touches my spirit there. Whenever we got this and all from the internet there a few minutes ago.
Nadine. from overseas says, please pray, many here who can't afford to buy Bibles because of poverty. According to the World Bank, 60% population living below poverty line, daily income below $1. So you can imagine how difficult it is. Villagers don't know how or where they can find Bibles. So our mission is to reach the unreached people and sharing the gospel. Please pray for us to reach maximum people in the year 2014 and bring them to the Lord Jesus. We have Keith Green and Fred Brannon. They have cancer. They need miracles. Our five kids that need salvation, Tony, Deidre, Philip, Faith, and Charity. Daisy has throat cancer, stomach cancer, cancer in her leg, and needs salvation. Martha and Roy Sexton, they need healing in their body. Clint Hampton, punctured lungs and leg troubles, and needs salvation. And David Keller needs a miracle. He's got cancer. And let's pray for this revival this week that many people will be touched, healed, set free, and saved.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So, you read, Kim? Okay, we'll let Kim go ahead and sing there. Then we'll, sometime before this is over, we'll pray for the request. And, you know, I tell you, that just really touches me. I guess a pastor probably email us and tell us that they're trying to reach the people over there, and they don't. Just imagine working all day long and don't even make a dollar a day. And that would be rough. And so they're trying to get Bibles, you know, and I tell you, God has made it possible in time back in several years ago that we have bought Bibles and sent them to areas like that, but God has to do it. So while I'm saying that, I'd like to say this. If anybody out there feel led to help us in our ministry in the way of giving anything, well, they'll email us. We'll tell them how to give us anything, and if they don't, why we don't want nothing. If God don't tell you to give it, because we're not on here begging, we're not on here doing anything like that. We just want to help people and reach people and tell people how to make heaven their home. So we'll let Tim go ahead and sing here at this time. So just obey the Lord with him. And Brother Green, you and Sister Green want to be ready to after he gets done there.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
In the middle of the battle, when all that really matters is a place where I can find relief, I even start to wonder if the stress I'm under is turning my joy into grief. I've been down, back down, found myself on the ground, starting to lose my mind. Then I opened up the Bible and found out to learn Ephesians chapter 1. God says I'm blessed, I'm chosen, I'm adopted, I'm favored, redeemed, yeah, I'm forgiven. Makes me want to sing, I'm a child of the King, and now I'm really living. By the blood of the Lamb, I know who I am. God said it and it's already done. When the devil comes in, I'll remind him again of Ephesians chapter 1. Amen. I don't mean to sound proud, because you know I've been down when the struggle almost took me out. But I found that God was working in the middle of the hurt, so I trust him and I don't have a doubt that he is fear taking away, making chain, breaking lies, changing powers going to see me through. So I'm never going to worry, even when he doesn't hurry, because I know what the Lord can do. God says I'm blessed, I'm chosen, I'm adopted, I'm favored, redeemed, yeah, I'm forgiven. Makes me want to sing, I'm a child of the King, and now I'm really living.
By the blood of the Lamb, I know who I am. God said it and it's already done. When the devil comes in, I remind him again of Ephesians chapter 1. Amen. Blessed, I'm chosen, I'm adopted, I'm forgiven. Redeemed, I'm favored, and now I'm really, really thanked. God says I'm blessed, I'm chosen, adopted, and favored, redeemed. Yeah, I'm forgiven. Makes me want to sing, I'm a child of the King, and now I'm really living. By the blood of the Lamb, I know who I am. God said it, and it's already done. When the devil comes in, I remind him again of Ephesians chapter 1. I open up my Bible and know I can rely on Ephesians chapter 1.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful song. I'll tell you how you can email me there. It's all lower cases. It's LloydYearwood@yahoo.com. And you can spell it LloydYearwood@yahoo.com. That's the way that you can email me there. And if you got anything you'd like to help us, and maybe we can pray for the prayer request, maybe I don't know if we get an address and if them people needing Bibles, why, I'm not going to obligate myself, but if God makes the way, why, we will be sending Bibles over there to help them people over there that needs a Bible. You know, anybody that needs a Bible, I'm a firm believer in giving them the Word of God and so forth. It just touches my heart just to hear, you know, it. People's asking for the Word of God and they don't know how to get it. They can't afford to get it. God's always made it possible. We've sent, I think it was 500 Bibles one time that we sent to China in their language. And we've sent 2 Bibles to Ukraine, Russia, in their language. We go out and order them, special in their language, to get them. And we've sent, I don't know how many Bibles into Mexico. God just made it way, just made it possible. So that's all we've, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I just love the Lord. I just love, you know, I've got a burden for this world. They're lost souls. God makes a way, and I want to do it. And that, just as I said a while ago, I don't want you to send me a dime if God don't speak to you and tell you to, because I don't want nothing that God's not in it. So I just praise the Lord for it. So, Brother, Sister Green, why don't you go ahead and obey the Lord.
Praise God, Brother Yearwood. If you feel led to go on, Brother, while the Lord's moving on you, we'll sit back and let God move. We don't want to be in the way.
Go ahead, Sister Green. Go ahead,
Praise
Sister God. Green.
Okay, appreciate that. We sure love the Lord and thank God for this here opportunity to be with you all again, and we saw something on Facebook. I know the subject tonight is God's Facebook, but I'm talking about the social media on internet, Facebook, and how I think it might have been Japan showed a video. Someone shared, I believe it was Sister Gladys, shared the video where they were opening up their boxes to their Bibles, and how when the person that had opened them up was passing them out, and the people that was receiving their Bibles, they would just start weeping over them and hugging their Bibles and holding them close to them and kissing them and the Bibles and how precious the Bible was to them. And I tell you, we are a blessed nation here in the United States that we can have our Bibles and we can have them freely, you know. And I was thinking about how it was a text
the Bibles that they were receiving. They can literally hold them. They can open up the pages. I don't know if the letters were in black and in Jesus' words were red, but that's what kind of Bible my Bible is, King James Version, text pages I could turn, literally. And I know it's technology has really increased in these last days, and how we have apps, they call it, that we could download to our smartphones, and we can download them to our computers, and we have helps like dictionaries, concordances, and stuff that's also apps where we could just look it up. But, you know, I was thinking about how one of these days, if we just totally depend on our apps and our electronics, and we do away with the written word, and we don't go out and purchase our Bible and text where we can turn the pages and write little footnotes to the side of it and to remind us later when we go to study, and how we could come back upon it and say, oh, I remember when the Lord showed me this and showed me that, and how it's written down and as a reminder of what God has done for us, and how, I'm not trying to come against our government or anything like that, but some of these days all they have to do is say that, we're going to outlaw this, and we're going to delete all these app companies, and we're going to do away with this. And if we don't have our written Bibles, used to, when they didn't have sinks, they had they would have a basin, and they would have a pitcher that held water, and the when you washed your face, this was back before my time, but we go into antique stores and we see this, and how my mother would tell me how they used to get the clean water. They'd have to go out in the yard and they'd have to pump and prime the well and get the water into the pitcher, and they'd take it in the house, and I didn't mean to say all this, but praise God, Brother Yearwood, the Lord was moving on you, and I believe that the Lord has given this to me now, because this goes right along with what I'm fixing to say in the Scriptures. Praise the Lord. And they would wash their face and stuff by using that clean water from that pitcher and that basin that they had. They didn't have running water that came into the house. That we go to the antique store, and we look at that as that being antique. I don't want my Bible, my King James Bible, written textbook that I could put up on the shelf, and then when I need to get it down every day, praise the Lord, and no dust and collecting on my Bible, but I'm just saying that we can look at it. We can look over and see it. We don't have to log on to nothing. We just go over, walk over to it, pick it up, and start opening up our Bible and look into our Bible. I don't want my Bible to be antique, Brother Yearwood. I don't want this new stuff coming in and the apps and those things and taking the place of my written word. Praise God, for Jesus told Satan, it is written. Praise the Lord. You know what they got on the electronics is typed out, and sometimes we notice that they've misspelled a word or they didn't put a word in there, and it's considered King James. And they're even doing that with our text. You know, we go out and buy new King James Bible. I'm talking about the King James Version Bible. And sometimes there's things that are omitted in it. So we have to be careful and not let our text, King James Bible, go antique, praise the Lord, where they won't even print them anymore. I hear now some of my friends, they go, and we do too, we'll go to the thrift store, and Brother Green will go over to the books and look. And, you know, and my friends of mine say, we go there to look for King James Bibles. They're being just thrown at the thrift store, like maybe somebody passed away and maybe the children didn't want the parents' Bible or the grandparents' Bible and just give it away like it was just a nothing. And, you know, I just I love the Lord, and I want to start out in Exodus chapter 38. It says, and he made an altar of burnt offering of smitten wood. 5 cubits was the length thereof, and 5 cubits was the breadth thereof. It was a 4 square, and there, and 3 cubits, the height thereof. And he made the horns thereof on the 4 corners of it. The horns thereof were of the same. And he overlaid it with brass. And he made all the vessels of the altar, the pots and the shovels and the basins and the flesh hooks and the fire pans, all the vessels thereof made he of brass. And he made
of the altar of Brazen Gate Network under the compass thereof beneath unto the midst of it. And he cast four rings for the four ends of the grate of brass to be places for the staff. Now I'm going somewhere with this. Praise the Lord. We're talking about God's Facebook tonight.
Man.
And he made the establishment in wood and overlaid them with brass. And he put the staves into the rings on the sides of the altar to bear it withal. He made the altar hollow with boards. And here's where I want to go. And he made the laver of brass and the foot of it of brass and the looking glasses of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he made the court on the south side, southward, and the hangings of the court where the fine twine linen and 100 cubic. So in verse 8 it says here, and he made the laver of brass and the foot of it of brass of the looking glasses of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. If you go to 1 Samuel chapter 2 and 22, it says, now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons had did unto all of Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now I want to talk to you tonight about the looking glass. We did a study on this on the tabernacle, and we got a little footnote that a little sister had studied out. And it says, a vanity mirror lets us view over natural face. It brings pride to the viewer, making the laver and his footstool of the brass looking glass of the vain women was a lesson and a special dedication to a humble spirit. It teaches us to look into the mirror of the word and let our sins be exposed that we may be cleansed by the word of God. Praise God. So if we look at, praise the Lord, we look at James 1 and 22 to 25. I think Brother John brought this up. It says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves.
For amen.
If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever look into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Praise the Lord. And I was thinking here how the Lord has made us. You know, he had told Moses to build a tabernacle, and I know we're not on tabernacles tonight, but I kind of felt to go that way sort of because of the looking glasses of the vain women and how, you know, we look into our word of God and how we don't anymore. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says that the veil was rent from top to bottom, and that was the tabernacle there.
Amen.
That they carried, and that the priest would go into the place of Holy of Holies, and on the bottom of his garment was a pomegranate and a bell, and a bell and a pomegranate, and you know, and he would go into that place, I believe, once a year for the remission of he would take in the blood, and he himself had to be clean, and you know, when you enter in at the tabernacle, you enter in the door, and we know the door being Jesus, and how when God was telling Moses to set up the tabernacle, said there would be hanging at the door, and we know that Jesus is the door, and he was hung on the cross, praise the Lord, and how the fine linen that would be hung at the door, and how Jesus, praise God, his garment was without seam on it. It was without they had no seam about it. It was fine linen, purple, praise God, and how his flesh was rent,
Praise the Lord, it was torn. It was marred more. His vesture was marred more than any man known. Praise the Lord. And you know how the priest had to do this. But when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says that the veil rent from the top to the bottom. And he said that he would make us, praise the Lord, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Praise God that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise the Lord. You know, we got to look into this looking glass and be real. The other night we was praying for a young man, you know, and several of us felt we were discerning the spirit, and I felt the spirit of the self-destruction on this man. And you know how he may look at himself at times in the past before he got delivered, and maybe he looked in the mirror and the devil would speak to him and say, you're nothing and you'll never be nothing. And you know, and how this image that he had about himself, and when we look in the mirror, we see an image, we see ourselves. Praise the Lord, but we got to get real with God. When we look into the Word of
Amen.
God, we need to look and say, is this me? Am I doing this? Is I better, God is, he's the one that wrote this book. Praise the Lord, the Bible, the Word of God, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And like I believe it was Brother John earlier said that you don't understand this. If you're not a Christian, you're not going to understand. But if you get God, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You get God down inside you. Let his spirit dwell in this tabernacle. You know you are the tabernacle of God. He created you in his praise God in his image. And you know, you were supposed to be a servant to God. That was your, to offer your body a reasonable, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's why he created you, to be a vessel, praise the Lord. There's vessels of wood and stubble that can be burned, but there's vessels of honor. And let's be real tonight. Let's look in the Facebook of God. Let's look in our Bibles, praise the Lord. Let's line up to the Word. Praise God. He said that it was here a little, there a little, precept upon precept. Praise God. That we'll know in part. And you know, we look through a glass darkly, but he, to us, to you, that is Christ like, that has God in you, praise the Lord, he will reveal the secret things to you. He'll speak them to you, praise the Lord. In Revelations 1, praise God, it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, and to him that loveth us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So he made us kings and priests, praise the Lord. We've got royal, we're of a royal priesthood. We've got royal blood flowing through our veins if you're saved tonight. Praise the Lord. Let's hold our Bibles dear to us. Let's like John laid his head in the breast of Jesus. Praise the Lord at the marriage supper. And that's what I want to do with my Word. I want it to be written on the table of my heart, of God's Word. And praise the Lord. And I want my will to become God's will. I want to decrease so God can increase. Preached the other night at our home church. John the Baptist, he says, don't follow me. He wanted them to follow Jesus. He came as a forerunner to tell them that Jesus was coming. But when Jesus come, he said, don't follow me, follow him, follow Christ, praise the Lord. He said, I must decrease that God can increase in me. And that's what we need to do when we look into our looking glass, praise the Lord, and we wash. The priest, when he came in through the door, which is Jesus, he knelt down at the brazen altar. And there he prayed, and he held on to the altar, the horns of the altar. And when he got up, no doubt he must have been dirty. His feet must have been dirty. His hands must have been dirty. He had to go over and wash in the laver. And the laver was made out of the looking glass of the vain women. Praise the Lord. And he had to come clean and so that he could go on, praise the Lord, to the altar of incense. And you know the Bible talks about how there was 12 loaves of bread, praise the Lord, and there was candlesticks on the other side. If you look at that, and the Holy of Holies, praise the Lord, if you look at that, that's a picture of Jesus. You come in at the door, you come down to the brazen altar, his feet was as brass that burned in the fire in a furnace, praise the Lord. And when you go to the brazen altar, you come up and you're clean. Praise the Lord, you wash. Well, by the blood of the Lamb, and that's Jesus. That's the lavering. The looking glass is the Word of God. Hallelujah. And the 12 loaves stood for the 12 tribes of Israel. And the candlesticks, the 7 candlesticks, stood for the 7 churches of Asia. Praise the Lord. Which church are you in tonight? Praise the Lord. We can look into the looking glass. We can look at Revelation. And we can look and see the 12 churches of Asia that God had found fault with 5 of them. Praise the Lord. Which church are you in tonight? Is God finding fault with you? Are you an overcomer by your testimony, by the word of your testimony, by the blood of the Lamb? Are you an overcomer tonight? He told them to be overcomers. Revelation was written for the last day saints. Praise God. It was written to the seven churches of Asia. It didn't stop at chapter 4 for the saints of God. I believe in chapter 12 it said that the devil, the man of perdition, would make war against the saints. If the saints are already gone, how is he making war against them? Praise the Lord. Now, today, is the day of salvation. Once the tribulation is over, once God has called his children home, he pours out his wrath, we're going to be out of here. We're not going to be here for the wrath of God. Praise the Lord. Right now is the time to get ready, to wash and come clean. Praise the Lord. I praise God, and I know Brother Green's got a lot of good things to say, and thank you, Brother Yearwood, for this opportunity. Hope we helped somebody
Amen.
Tonight. Hang on to your King James Bibles, praise the Lord. Don't let them go, praise the Lord, to the bookstore. Keep them,
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hold them dear to you. Hold them tight to you.
Yeah, praise God. It's good to be with you. I don't know. You might have a song. I'm not sure, Brother Yearwood. You want me to go ahead, or do you have a song or something?
Well, just go ahead. Let me see who this other caller in here, then we'll get you to obey the Lord if you don't care, Brother Green.
Okay.
661, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Hi, Sister. Brother Yearwood, it's been a crazy day. Here, I'm calling you Sister. I'm sorry. This is Sister
that's
Gladys
okay.
from Moorhead, Kentucky.
It's
okay. been a wild day.
That's okay. We understand them wild days. All right, we'll go ahead and let Tim sing a song. Then we'll get Brother Green to obey the Lord there. We'll get to you there in a few minutes.
Okay, sounds good.
Worship the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I feel the Spirit of God in this.
I knew it wouldn't be an easy thing, cause I messed up Satan's plan. God gives me daily strength, standing victory. Though the powers of hell may come my way, greater is he in me. I'm singing greater, greater, greater is he in me. I'm singing, I'm shouting, I'm happy and I'm free. I'm a soldier in an army that never has known me be. Greater, greater, greater is he in me. So long I have wandered in this cold, cruel world alone. Heartbreak and my failure was just about all I'd ever known. Then I met God's only son, who listened to my plea. Now my life has a brand new chapter, greater is he in me. I'm singing greater, greater, greater is he in me. I'm singing, I'm shouting, I'm happy and I'm free. I'm a soldier in an army that never had no easy. Greater, greater, greater is he in me. am a soldier in an army that never has no defeat. Oh no, greater, greater, greater is he in me. I'm a soldier in an army that never has no defeat. Greater, 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 greater is he in me. Greater is he in me.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful song. So go ahead there, Brother Green. Just obey the Lord.
Okay, thank you, Brother Yearwood. I'm glad to be on this program tonight. I was thinking it's a good thing to be in God's Facebook and have our names on the Lamb's Book of Life. And you know, a lot of people out there tonight listening in probably don't have their name in God's Facebook. And I look at that as the Lamb's Book of Life part of it. Also, I look at it as the Word of God, as God's Facebook. And, you know, God tells us in His Word the things that He expects us to do and the things that He wants us to do. And He tells us many secrets on how to obtain things from God. And, you know, we wouldn't know these things if we didn't have God's Facebook. If we didn't have the Word of God tonight, we would not know how to come to God. We would not know that we could come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in the time of trouble. We would not know that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We would not know how to train up our children in the way that they should go, that when they're old, they will not depart from it. And we would not know how to treat our brothers and our sisters in the Lord and also in the world. We would not know a lot of things tonight if we did not have the Word of God. But I thank God that we have the written Word of God. Jesus said, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God." So Jesus said it was written, and I'm glad that we have the written Word of God tonight. I'm glad that I have a King James Version Bible, and that's the English translation of the Word of God. And I'm glad that I have that tonight, and I'm not going to give it up, and I'm not going to go after other translations that have deviated from God's Word. I tell you, the Bible said that we should not add to the Word or we should not take away, because if we add to the Word, we're going to get in trouble. Now, I know we don't all preach the same, exactly the same way, and even John said over there, and I think it's the 21st or 2nd chapter of John, he was telling us that even the world's could not contain the things which Jesus done. And he also, let me read it to you here. It says, "This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true." This was John writing these things. This is in the book of John. It's in the 21st chapter. It's the last chapter of John. And in the 25th verse, it says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. But he said, "I suppose that even the world itself." So John... he supposed right there a little bit, and sometimes we suppose things, and we must be careful that what we are talking about, that we're correct. And if we're not correct, I believe the Lord will straighten us out somewhere along the line. And don't follow a preacher and say that he's the voice of God, because he's not the voice of God. He is. He may be a voice for God and preaching, but he needs to preach what the Word of God says. And you can go astray by following somebody that don't follow the Word. And I tell you,
amen.
They may even come with signs and wonders, but if they don't follow the Word of God, they don't follow God's Facebook, then somewhere down the road they're going to go astray. We've read and heard about people that started out good, and somewhere down the line they started substituting other things for the Word of God. And the Bible tells us in the last days that they would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, I tell you, if the devil could get hold of the church, and if he could get in them up in the high places of the church, I tell you what he would do. He would stop the men and women of God, the true men and women of God, from preaching the Word of God. And what he would do, when he would set up his own preachers. And I tell you what they would do. They would turn from the Word of God, and they would start preaching fables, and they would start reading out of other books, and they would do these things, and they would not be following Christ. But there's many today that have gone astray, and people are following those that have gone astray. But I tell you, if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and we repent, and we get right with God, and turn from our wicked ways, and he said he would heal our land, and he would forgive our sins, and he would bless our country and our nation. And this nation today needs to turn back to God. And I tell you, we can't go after all these fables and all this stuff, and everybody coming down the road say they got a new version of the Bible. If we would look back 150 years ago, we probably would never, hardly ever see anybody in the pulpit except with a King James Version Bible preaching, and preaching with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. And I know they were false prophets even in the first church they came along. And there are even more today, but if we look into the Facebook of God, we can get ourselves on track. If we get out of line with God, there's a remedy, and it's the Word of God, and it's repentance and turning back to God. Praise God. Praise God. I didn't mean to say all of those things, but
praise
I said them. But praise God. You know, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Bible said men would be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, and blasphemers, and disobedient to parents, and unthankful and unholy. But I'm glad I've still got the Facebook of God. I've still got the Word of God. And if somebody goes astray and they try to lead me astray, I can see where I'm walking. It's a lamp under my feet and a light under my path. And I tell you, David said, I've hid the word in my heart that I might not sin against him. And he was talking about sinning against God. And Moses went up on the mountain, and Moses got the commandments from God, and they was written with the finger of God. He come back off of that mountain, and here they was. They was playing church. They'd got them a false god. They'd made them a golden calf, and they were bound down to that calf, and Moses took them stones, those stones and Ten Commandments, and he broke them at the foot of that mountain. And he took that golden calf, and he beat it to powder, and put it in the water, and made them drink it. I tell you, praise God, there was somebody standing for God. And I'll tell you, if you're a true minister of God tonight, you need to stand for God no matter what happens, no matter what kind of laws that they might pass. I'll tell you, hang on to the Word of God. They've come out with so many different Bibles that some people don't know which one to buy when they go to the Bible bookstore. They say, should I buy this one, and should I buy that one? And they ask people, which one do you think's the best? Well, if you would have asked the preacher 150 years ago, he would say there's only one, and you better hold on to it, and that's the King James Version of the Bible, because it's a translation, word for word, from the Scriptures. Praise God. It's not some man's opinion on what it means. It's a word from God. And I tell you, Jesus said it is written. And we better hold on to God's Facebook. Praise God. I don't want to preach too long tonight. I don't know what time it is, but I know it's time to get into God's Word. I know it's time to come back to the throne of grace. If you've gotten out there in a wilderness somewhere and you've gone away from God, I'll tell you, it's time to get back. It's time to find you a King James Bible and get down into the Word of God and see what it is that God would have you to do. But I'll tell you, this is not popular preaching today, because if you go into many of our churches, they would set you down if you preach like I'm preaching tonight. They would come to you and they would try to correct you, and they would try to tell you that we're living now, and we know more today than the old apostles and them knew and the people that came before us. But I don't think that we do, church. I think what they had to read was the Bible, and what they had to study was the Bible. And they didn't have all this internet and all these books and all these things that people occupy their time with, and all these gadgets and all these games that they play. I'll tell you, people are playing games while people are falling into eternity. And I tell you, we better not put too many things before God, because if it turns into an idol, we're going to be in trouble with God. But we better keep down on our knees and keep praying and studying the Word of God, because in the last days, many shall depart from the faith, the Bible said. They're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and they're speaking lies and hypocrisy. And they're trying to lead people away from God, and they don't even know because they're deceived themselves, many of them. And I don't know if I'm preaching to some preacher tonight in that kind of a condition, but if I am, I pray that you'll get back to God. I pray that you'll get down to business and you'll search yourself. Paul said that we should examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. And I tell you, it's high time to wake out of sleep, because the night is far spent. And I tell you, it's almost over. It's almost closing time. Praise God. James 1:18, it says, of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Praise God. He said, it's the word of truth. The Bible is the word of truth. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth. I'll tell you, he sent his son into this world to be the Savior. Joanna touched on how Moses got the tabernacle in the wilderness, and God gave him all the ways to make it, and he put wisdom into the hearts of those men and women that was going to work on that tabernacle. And they sewed the things together that God said to put together, and they made it, fashioned it according to what Moses told him in the mountain. And we've got to go by God's word. We can't go by our own thinking. We can't go by somebody else's opinion. But we've got to go by what saith the word of God. When they had things going on, they would say, nevertheless, Paul did, nevertheless, what saith the scriptures? I tell you, we'd better look at the scriptures tonight to see if we're walking in the will of God, to see if we are his people, if we are the kind of first fruits of his creatures, if we are in tune with God. Praise God. In Exodus 33:11, and the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friends. I think Brother John read that scripture tonight, preached on it. Praise God. But Moses, when he had made an end, the Bible said in Exodus 31:18, and he gave Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. Now, I'll tell you tonight, we still got the same word tonight that God gave to Moses. But the thing about it tonight is we're under a better covenant, and it's based on better promises. We've got the promise that we can have eternal life, and we can be born again, and we can be washed in the blood of the Lamb, and, and we can be baptized with the Holy Ghost, and at the end of this race and the end of this life, we can go to a place called heaven where the soul never dies and where there's no need for anything, that God has provided everything that we'll ever need, where there be no sorrow and no sickness and no tears. And we're headed up the King's Highway tonight, and I'm going to a city whose builder and maker's God. And I'll tell you, there's going to be some beautiful people in that city because they're going to be doers of the word and not hearers only. If they're going to go into that city, they're going to have to live holy, righteous, and godly in this present life. Praise God. I'm not going to read all my scriptures tonight that I had wrote down, and some of them's been already preached on, but, you know, I was thinking of in Acts chapter 16, there was two men in prison, and those men were put there because they was preaching the gospel, and they were locked up in the prison house. They began to sing, and they began to pray about the midnight hour, and it came to pass there when they began to sing and they began to pray that there was a great earthquake and it shook loose everyone's bands and the prison doors was open and the man in charge of the prison was about to kill himself and he called, I believe it was Paul, called for a light. It says then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas. So this prison man that was over that prison, the keeper of the prison, he awaked out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." You see, the prison couldn't hold them because they was obeying God. I tell you, the devil might have you in prison tonight, but I tell you, God can get you out. I don't know what kind of a prison you might be. It might be mental, spiritual. It may be a physical prison. Seem like you can't get loose. But I tell you, they began to sing and pray at the midnight hour. And I tell you, an earthquake came. It was God that caused it. God was the one that set them loose and broke the chains off and set them free. And praise God. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You see, that man had heard them singing and praying. I really believe they were singing and praying before the midnight hour. I believe that they were singing and praying before that man laid down to sleep. And he heard them, and he knew what they were talking about. Now, I believe he heard them preaching to them prisoners that was in that prison. And he came out, and they said, and brought them out and said, "Sirs," and this is what he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all of his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. So he told them the way of salvation, and he preached unto them the word of God. So I know they had the word of God back in those days that they preached. We've still got that same word today, church. And you can still get saved the same way that that jailer did. That jailer got saved by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and by hearing the word of God. And I tell you, I don't know what they preached that day, but I believe they preached the death, burial, and the resurrection. I believe they did. I'm going to have to get off here. We're running. I don't want to cut nobody short, and God bless you all. It's been a privilege to be on here tonight, and I thank the Lord for it. Back to you, Praise Brother Lord. Wood.
Praise Lord. We appreciate you there, Brother Green. Appreciate everything you said there. Good word. I'm going to get Sister Frieda to obey the Lord there next, but I want to know if, Sister Gladys, do you have a prayer request you'd like to make known?
I don't know if you guys have already put in the request, but I'd sent one to Sister Joanna, my son. We had to go to the clinic tonight, and he has what is called asthmatic bronchitis, and today they called him and said he lost his job for missing that today's date. So I pray that God will restore that if it's his will. That request, and I also wanted to put in a prayer request for John Loveless. He's a guy at our church that has to have surgery to remove any cancer cells. My Uncle Gary and Laura McKnight, I know she has another request, but I believe she needs a physical touch also because God healed her of cancer, but the chemo has done damage in her body. So pray for her also, please. Pray for us also. We have an error at the bank that we need God to show us favor on to where it doesn't cause us problems. They want to charge us double on our house payment, and we can't do that. So God knows our hearts, and we're standing on that scripture we stood on before, and God's going to move. Just pray for that, for them to show us favor.
Amen.
Amen. We sure will. Brother John, you want to lead us in prayer on these prayer requests right now? Then we'll get Sister Frieda to come in there and obey the Lord.
Heavenly Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, all across this land right now, in the name of Jesus, they reach out.
Lord, we ask you, Father, what are the problems? Lord, that you will save, sanctify, hallelujah, and fill with the Holy Ghost. Lord, that you will meet the needs, God, of your people, Lord. Father, all around the world, God, you see the needs, God. Lord, you said in Philippians 4:19 that you would supply our needs according to your riches and glory of Christ Jesus. And Father, we bring them to you right now, and we just lay them at the foot of the cross, Lord, that you're going to meet every need. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor, Father.
It
went good. The doctors called me and said that they just want me to come back and walk the treadmill there, the fifth.
Okay.
They said that the blood work and everything that they'd done showed that it wasn't, my breathing wasn't connected to my heart. So they just want me to come back and walk the treadmill. So everything's good, and I appreciate all the prayers that you guys prayed for me, and I'm looking for a good report.
Amen.
On that treadmill, too.
I am, too. Yep, I am, too. All right, well, I'm going to shock you again tonight, too. Brother Jonathan started, so I was thinking today, I said, Lord, what do you want me to do when I get on the blog talk tonight? And a song came to mind, and I'm going to sing it for you. He's God and the Father. He's God and the Son. He's God in the Holy Ghost. He's God all three in one. I know God is God. God don't ever change. I know God is God. And he always will be God. All right. And then I was looking through the Bible this today and saying, what do you want me to speak, Lord? Because, you know, we have to let the Lord tell us what to do, what to say.
Amen.
And so I pray that every morning, and so I couldn't find it at first, and I said, Lord, you know what that scripture is. Show me where it's at. So I'm going to start out in Matthew 17. I'm going to start with verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bring them up into a high mountain apart,
and he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make thee three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased, and hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man, save Jesus only. You know, we have to have that personal one-on-one relationship. And I do have a Facebook account, but we have to be one-on-one. And other things can happen on Facebook, but you have to be one-on-one with the Lord. He'll tell you what to say. He'll tell you where to go. And, you know, we have to do what he tells us. Now, we're not in our own power anymore. This is the Lord's body, not ours. And I said, I thank you, Jesus. And that when that came down, that verse came. Because the Lord was God was talking to his son. He said, I am well pleased. And, you know, we have to look to him and let him tell us what to do and where to go. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Sister Gladys, come on in and obey the Lord.
It's good to be on here tonight, Sister Yearwood. I texted you earlier and didn't think I could make it. I may have been late coming into the broadcast, but yesterday I was a day early. I don't know where my mind was thinking, but I was 23 hours early for this broadcast. I thought, Lord, I want to join them in this 100th broadcast celebration. And I was sitting in my chair, and I had my earphones on, and it said, this broadcast will not be on for 23 point so many minutes from now. Oh, Lord, help me. But I praise God. He's a good God. He walks with us. He talks with us, and he shows me the way. And, you know, I sent you a text, Sister Betty, that I preached on Sunday morning, and all the lights went out. There was somebody had hit a pole. There was a power surge, and people were saying, well, preach, preach. And I said, well, I can't read my text. People were rushing around. Some lady was kind enough to bring me her cell phone. She said, here, honey. She said, you go ahead and read the text. And the Lord still had his way. You know, the enemy may hinder, but he can't stop. I praise God for these broadcasts. And I thank you, Brother Yearwood, for inviting me to join you and Brother and Sister Green. I praise God for the opportunity to get the word forth. It's like I was speaking in church. If there's someone out there listening to the voices of the ministers on these broadcasts that need uplifted and they need encouraged, we may never step foot in Uganda or Turkey or even North Korea in those places. But I praise God that there's a broadcast out through the airways to let people know God's still on the throne. And he's never lost any power. He's still lifting and encouraging people that he's the healer today that he was yesterday. And I thank him that he doesn't change. I glorify my God. It sounds like Brother John may have touched on the scriptures in Exodus 3:11, but I'm going to read the part I want to possibly finish off. I don't know how far he went down, but I like the part where it says in Exodus, and Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. We need to preach to the people that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has sent us out, and we are serving the I Am, the great I Am that lives in the throne room of heaven, and that he is still the God that we want to serve. And we want to deliver this message to let people know across the airways and across the nations, to let them know the same God that Moses went up and served, that he came forth and brought his glory. He is the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I praise him for that. You know, he delivered the people out of Egypt, and their shoes never wore out. Their clothes never wore out. He took care of them. He supplied their needs. His grace is sufficient is what I preached on last Sunday, and it truly is. When I got so sick, he kept whispering that into my spirit, my grace is sufficient for thee. And he's still the same way. If you don't have, you have a financial need, go to the Lord. He will make a way when there seems to be no way. He's an on-time God. He'll never come too early. He'll never come too late. But he will do what his word says. If you get in the word, just like we're preaching on, it's God's Facebook. You know, on Facebook, we may meet people and get closer and closer to them and learn more about their life. God wants us to know everything about him. That way we'll know how to reach others. We'll know how to talk. We'll know how to walk. We'll know how to live right before the people that are out there that are hurting. There's so many people dying today and going out to the pits of hell. I believe the devil's tool today, like I said on the last broadcast, I believe, is the tool of drugs. We need to reach out and grab those people that are in the flames and pull them out and say there's a better way. You don't have to shoot up that heroin into your arm. You don't have to die out to this kind of worldly system. There's a better system. There's a heavenly system. You can go forth and meet God. He has his own Facebook. We can meet him and be face-to-face with God. He'll work with us. He'll talk with us, and he'll join us in our pain. I praise God tonight. He'll bring us out of our pain. He said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I praise him for my joy today, Brother Yearwood. There was a time I couldn't say I had joy, but he said he'd give us peace that surpasses all understanding. And that's perfect peace, and I praise him tonight. I want to read down Exodus 33:18. I don't want to take up all your time, Brother Yearwood. He said,
it's
and
the
he
Lord's
said,
time,
I be- he said, and he
it's
said,
Lord's
I beseech thee.
It's not my time.
Okay. He said, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for thou shalt no man see me and live. His glory is too great for these bodies that we have to handle. And he said in 21, he said, and the Lord said, behold, there is a by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back part, but my face shall not be seen. You know, today we can rest in God's glory. He will bring it down from heaven, and we can join in his heavenly glory. He brings angels. He dispenses angels. There's many times we can dispense angels by our voice and tell them, we dispense you in the name of Jesus to go send ministering angels to someone that's laying on their deathbed. Send them to the wards in the hospitals and raise them up and encourage their hearts. I know angels exist because they were there. We were talking about them today. My mother-in-law, angels have a scent, but if they know that we know that they're in the room, they'll leave. And people may inquire about that, but I know it's true. There's such a scent of flowers when they're in the room. You'll have to experience to know what I'm saying. So I'd like to part in Exodus 34. And let me go down to the verse I really want to get to, because, like I said, I don't know if these have already been preached on. In verse, I want to start with 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. He's talking about, I believe, Moses, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generations. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. You know, we still dwell among a stiff-necked people, a rebellious people. But I know this much, God can change the heart. He can soften the hard-hearted people that have been exposed to the worldly people. I know today that people don't have the compassion they had years ago. And I was preaching this on Sunday morning. There may be prostitutes that walk through those back doors, but we need to love the prostitutes. We don't have to worry about getting dirty. I was in a house, one church house one day, and there were two women that were sitting close by, and the town drunk came into the back seat of the church house, as he did often. And he may have smelled a little bad, and they grabbed their purses after singing, and they said, "Don't you want to move?" And I thought to myself, Lord, where's the love of God? We need to reach out to the people, the lonely, the hurting, the backsliders, the ones that are homeless that don't want to be homeless, those that are shooting up in the back alleys. You know, I've got family members that are doing that today. God, help those people. Help us to have the compassion that Jesus had. That's the kind of life we need to dwell in, that we need to walk daily in, to have the compassion of God. We need to live uprightly and have and be in God's Facebook. Be in there strongly and let other people know there's a loving heart of God. It dwells in among us. Like Sister Green had said, greater is he that among us that lives in us than he that's in the world. We can conquer the things of the world because God said he could, that we would. He said by Christ Jesus, he strengthens us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I praise God today that I'm strengthened. I praise God he brought me through another day. He didn't have to wake me up this morning, Brother Yearwood, but he did. I thank him for putting breath in my lungs. I thank him that I can praise him and lift up my hands. There was a time I couldn't do that. I'm not going to dwell on that much, but it's my testimony. No one can take that away from me. And I will preach it. I will sing it out, and I will give that testimony over and over. People may wish that I'd say something else, but it's my testimony. It's what he said, we're overcomers by our testimony, and I glorify my God. I thank him for all he's done for me. I could be in a grave today, but thanks be to the Lord Jesus, I'm here today. I've been in so many car accidents. I've had angels ride with me. I know I have, because
amen.
God dwells within me, and he dwells around me. I glorify my God. I want to give the time back over to you, but thanks again to help me, you know, be able to come on this broadcast. I thank you, Brother Yearwood, and I praise God for your 100th celebration. That's
amen.
God. I praise him tonight.
Amen. We sure do appreciate it, too. We got a couple more call-ins here, so we're going to find out who they are there. Area code 513, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at. Area code 513, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at. Well, okay, I'm sorry, I'm not hearing you there. 423, come in there and tell us where you're at, who you are there.
Hey, I'm in Sunnyside out in Philadelphia, and I'll lose you any time. I don't have no reception out here, so I thought I'd just call in and let you know that I'm praying for you and hope people will be saved through this and like these testimonies, and thank God that we got some more Christians that hold this Brother Stain banner up. And to go forward,
amen.
God, get the drunks, the prostitutes, the sinners in. Jesus said he didn't come for the righteous, he come for the lost. And I praise God for that.
Amen.
The sick, amen. And I was sick, I was lost. But now I'm found, praise God, and on my way to home. And this ain't home to me, Brother Yearwood. I'm going home one day, and I believe it's more closer than people realize. So I get off of here, and I'm going to lose you anyway, because I'm out in Sunnyside area, out in Philadelphia. So we'll talk at you later and be praying for you. God bless you.
Okay, God bless you. We're proud you called in there, Brother Bobby. 513, come back in there if you can tell us who you are and where you're at there. Well, I'm sorry, I'm not hearing you there. Anyway, I want to say this before I get started. Now, tomorrow night, our title of our message will be "Nothing Is Too Hard for God." So you might want to write that down so you can be a studying and looking up the scriptures on "Nothing Is Too Hard for God." So, praise the Lord. If you want to Turn with us. We're going to go here for just a minute or so. In Matthew 22 and 32. I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You know, great God, I thank God tonight that we are serving a God that's not of the dead, praise the Lord, but he is the God of the living. And, you know, I thank God tonight that he is reaching out. He's calling people in to the Facebook. And, you know, I tell you what, I think this is a wonderful title for the message, God's Facebook. You know, as Brother John and all of them been saying, we look into the Word of God. You know, I look into the 66 books, I believe, of the King James Version. Praise God, that is the Facebook of God. Whenever we open that up, that's just like a mirror, I believe, hung on the wall. If we will look into that Word of God and we look into it, we can see ourselves in that Word. If we don't, my friend, we need to stop and back up. We need to go somewhere and kneel down somewhere and get a hold of the Facebook of God. I'll tell you what, just like yesterday, one of my daughters was telling me about her oldest son. He told her, he said, Mom, he said, I've asked God to forgive me. He said, God's not talked to me. I said, I don't know if he has or not. I told her, I said, you tell him to get into over there into Romans 10th chapter and read that and believe that. The Word says if we believe in our heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, our heart believeth and mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's all we've got to do up there tonight, my friend. You may be somewhere in another foreign country, just like the man that sent us that email a while ago, earlier this evening there, talking about the Bibles and all the things like that. My friend, I'm telling you, all they've got to do is just believe in their heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and they can get in the Facebook of God. And I'm thankful tonight that God is not a God that's of the dead, but he will bring us alive. I tell you, that one time I was dead to the sins of this world. At one time I didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, but praise God, when I met him and whenever I learned him, I praise God, I become a live person then. I'm not a dead person no more. I've got the Spirit of God living down inside of my bones. Hallelujah, just like Jeremiah said, just like fire shut up in my bones. I tell you, sometimes, my friend, God's Word, it will get to burning so strong, it will get so hot on us. I praise God that we just want to just weep and cry and shout and rejoice, because he is, as someone else done brought it over, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. I'm so thankful tonight, praise God, that I'm calling upon a live God. He's not a God that's of the dead, but he's a God of the living. And I tell you what, tonight, my friend, if you don't know this God that we're talking about, if you don't know this Facebook that we're talking about, you need to find your good King James Version Bible, a good 1611 condition, and get in that and start studying that. Then you will see the glory of God. You can see yourself in the Word. I tell you, that's what it takes. We've got to walk in the Word. We've got to talk the Word. We've got to look the Word. We've got to be as he would have us to be. I tell you what, it's a time tonight. Praise God, I want to just look just a little bit here into Acts Praise God, the seventh chapter there. I'm going to let Betty read it here for us. Hallelujah.
Acts 7:32, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groanings, and am come down to deliver them, and now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush.
Amen. Praise God. You know, I'm so thankful tonight to praise God that that the same angel, hallelujah, that was in the bush, you know, that spoke to Moses, and Moses, one passage in the scripture over there, it said that he turned aside to see of what was going on, and God seen him turn aside. And I tell you what, tonight, my friend, God will see you if you will turn aside to turn into this mirror, into God's wall, into God's face. You can look at him, hallelujah. I don't know why, but Hezekiah come to me. Praise God, he had to cry out to God whenever the angel come to him and told him, I said, set your house in order, for you're surely going to die. Praise God, but Hezekiah, he turned his face to the wall, and he seen the handwriting on the wall, and he began to cry out, telling God how good and how perfect life that he lived before him. And my friend, tonight you can turn to God and you can say, Lord, you see me here. Lord, I ask you to come into my life, and God will come into your life. He will take authority over the powers of the enemy that you had bound down with. I'm so thankful tonight, praise God, that we can call upon him, and that he will, praise God, will hear, and he will answer our call, praise God. He hears you whenever you call upon him, especially if you're calling upon him and asking him to come into your life and to change it, to save your soul. He will hear you. He will come in. He will change your life. Oh, Paul said, behold, all old things passed away. I become a new creature in Christ Jesus. My friend, yeah. he told him, I'll bring you alive. Praise God. God is not a God of the dead, but he's a God of the living. And that's all we've got to do is turn to this Facebook and believe God whenever we call upon him. He will hear and he will answer our prayers. He will take care of us. I thank God for that tonight. Praise God. I'm so thankful for this revival. I'm so thankful that this year includes 100 services. I tell you what, and I'm just looking forward for the rest of this all the way up until March the 4th each night from tonight, tomorrow night, and all the way up tonight. Until March the 4th. I'm so thankful that God laid this on our hearts. And I believe God's going to do some great and mighty things across these airways and across these internet services. I believe God's reaching out to us. And we just got to keep on going. Keep pressing on. Praise God. Hallelujah. I thank God for it. Praise God. Brother John?
Yeah, brother.
Tell us what you got planned there for tomorrow night on your church services.
Well, we're going to join you, and we're just going to do like we normally do. When I come on, we'll be broadcasting, and we'll be in our church. So and the congregation will be there, and we'll just do like you normally do, and we'll go from there, brother.
Okay, well, tell everybody where your church is at there.
All right, it's at 114 East Main in Thomaston, Georgia. We're about 70 miles south of Atlanta, Georgia, on the main street here in Thomaston. And our services are at, right now we're having services on Sunday at 2 o'clock and Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock. So if you're in the area, we'd like to invite you to come and be with us. And we just want to lift up the name of Jesus.
Amen. Praise God. Okay, I guess they done turned us off, so it's time for us to say good night. God bless you. We'll be looking to hear each and every one of you there tomorrow night.
God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.